Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 29. Those of you who read a proverb a day, read Proverbs chapter 29 today. And there was something in here that would be good for us. A lot of things that are good for us in here. Proverbs chapter 29, look at verse 6. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare, but the righteous doth sing and rejoice, because he's not ensnared. In the transgression of an evil man there is a snare. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you please now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to help us. The folks came tonight desiring to enjoy good fellowship, which we've already begun to do, to catch up on what's going on with some of our missionaries, which they've been able to do, to praise the Lord and to speak about some things you've done in their lives, Father, that are good, and that's been enjoyable. Father, we all came tonight also to be fed, and we have words of God here on the pulpit, in our hearts and in our minds, in our laps. I'm praying, Heavenly Father, that you will do just that tonight. Really help us with the words of God. Father, we know that you have instruction for us in the words. You told us that. You told us that you give these words to us by inspiration and that they are profitable for instruction. And we pray tonight to be instructed in the words of God and where needed to be corrected and reproved. We ask you to do these things for us because we're coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We also pray, Father, for Bible clubs and Tony's class where others are being instructed and others are teaching. Really pray, Father, that the words of God will come with power and that the Spirit of God will come with power and there'll be a demonstration of that power from these words and from your Spirit, Lord, showing these are not things that men can do, but these are things that you do. Help us, we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Tonight what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about some snares, and there are more in the Bible than we're going to talk about. We're going to concentrate on just a few, and the reason we'll concentrate on just a few is that perhaps that will help us to remember. I remember in talking with my wife about teaching her Sunday school class, she would do a review on the day, on the Sunday following the day that she had taught the class, and she said, oftentimes these kids can't remember everything that I taught them last week. And I said, well, perhaps what you ought to do is try to teach them less. She said, well, what good would that do? And I said, my point was, one point remembered is better than 4 points forgotten. And so tonight, rather than try to exhaust what the Bible says about snares, we'll just talk about a few and a few that perhaps will pertain to us. I hope they are. Actually, I'm working from notes on a message that I preached on the radio a long time ago and have carved out things that were in that message to just stew it down to some that may be helpful to us tonight. And the first thing we read here is, in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. And the idea is this, that when you do something that's evil, and Christians are very capable of doing things that are evil, when you do something that's evil, that is a transgression against the Lord, there's a snare in that thing. Now, a snare, what is a snare? It's a drum. Well, there is a snare drum, but that's not what he's talking about here. A snare is a way to trap something. Now, think about a snare for just a minute. What is a characteristic of a snare that would pertain to our study tonight? It's disguised, it's camouflaged, it's hidden. It's not obvious that it's there. That's the characteristic of the snare. In the cartoons, you used to see him take a limber tree and that was very springy. And they would tie it down to the ground and the snare would be at the base of that tree. And when the animal they were trying to catch would get into that area, the thing was to release and, you know, flip up and now they're hung in the tree. Well, okay, so it's humorous and so forth when you see it in the cartoon, but the idea is the same. You don't see anything in the area that gives you a clue you are about to hurt yourself. I suppose in a very serious sense, it's like the tripwires in Vietnam. Those things were well hidden and well disguised and placed in well-worn paths, places that soldiers would be prone to travel. And they would trip on those things and set off the explosion, and it's deadly. Well, that's the thing about these snares. You don't see them. You don't know they're there, but they are there. And they're there to trap you. They're there to hurt you. They are there to ensnare you so that you can't get loose. And the Bible says in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. So let's just talk about a few things that Christians have gotten themselves into that they should have never gotten into in the first place. Sometimes you might know Christians, and that I'm speaking to us because we're here, who are careless when they're on their cell phones or on the internet searching, and they come across something that is inappropriate for their eyes. David said in Psalm 103, I think it was, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Man, I'm going to tell you what, there are a lot of wicked things on the internet. You know, I try to go from time to time to a conservative news source just to see if there's anything big happening. And usually I can stay there 30 seconds or 45 seconds because there's not anything big happening. And I could give, I thought about doing a message tonight on the news to just let you know how big a waste of time it is. I'll probably do one of those after I have a little more time to prepare it. But it really is generally a waste of time. Every once in a while you'll find a good article. But you know, even on conservative news sites, there are banners and there are things on the sides. And I'm telling you, it is amazing what's showing up there that is not appropriate for my eyes, and I'm sure not appropriate for your eyes. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, you used to be able to come here and they were really just bland. There was nothing else here but a few headlines. Not now. Not now. And so you have to be very careful with that. I like to use a Bible concordance when I am doing topical messages. I want to see other places in the Bible where a particular word appears. And I use one called Bible Gateway. That's been one of those very bland websites, and it has a banner on there that usually advertises nothing anybody in the world would be interested in. And I'm telling you what, now they're beginning to advertise some things that I don't want to look at. And this is a Bible concordance on the web. Okay, where are we going? You have to be very careful. Because if your eyes are easily attracted to things that you shouldn't see, you're going to find them. Even if you don't want to. And those things are going to stir up temptations in your heart. And those temptations in your heart are going to lead you to want to go back and see if you can find something else that you shouldn't look at on a site that, if anybody else found out you were looking at it, they wouldn't get mad at you because it's not a pornographic site, but it's got inappropriate material on it. And once you get there, then you think you can feast your eyes on what you're seeing because, after all, it is a neutral website. And then after a while, the snare, boom, pulls. And the next thing you know, you're going to those websites that you don't want people to find out you've been going to. And you're looking at things you cannot quit looking at, because in the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. That's the way it works. When young men get started out and they meet somebody that says, you know what, why don't we go out and take a drink? And you're like, well, I grew up in a church where we didn't drink. Yeah, but you're not in church now, and you know that preaching's not really relevant to today. Come on, why don't you go out with us? And the young man goes out and he has a drink. And he says, you know what, that didn't hurt me that much. I don't know what it was about that they told me I shouldn't do. And so his friends say, you want to go again? And he goes again. And what happens is eventually he goes and he gets drunk. Before, he was just having a drink. But now he's found that it gives him kind of a good feeling. Maybe two would give him a better feeling. And that's how that happens. And then three, and then four, and then he is he's incapable of operating a vehicle safely. But he does anyway, because he doesn't dare not. He doesn't want anybody to know that he's involved in this. The trouble is, now the snare has been set, and it pulls, and now he has to have that drink. And he goes, or that drug, and he goes. Sometimes, and this happens with Christians, you go through a surgery and they give you a strong pain reliever for the pain associated with that surgery, or with that procedure, or with that injury, and you take it. And at first it's very legitimate. It is dampening the pain, and it's necessary. But now the problem is, you're creating phantom pain that's associated with your withdrawals from the medication, and now you keep taking it. You know what happened? The thing ensnared you. I've had to help Christians that have come to me looking for Bible verses to strengthen them who got off on addictions to painkillers. And I learned about those phantom pains and how difficult it was for them. And some have found procedures and ways to get through it. But I'm going to tell you something. If it ever happened to you, I don't condemn you for that happening to you. I understand the process. But what I want to tell you is, it ought to illuminate your mind. You cannot do evil things and transgress the words of God without stepping in that snare and finding yourself trapped. You can't do it. In the transgression of an evil man, there is a snare. And so you just have to know that it's true. And when you hear your youth pastor, or you hear your college and career pastor, or you hear your pastor saying, don't go into these things, stay away from these things, don't look at us like we don't know what we're talking about. Don't look at us like we came out of Noah's boat and that we don't understand life. We have lived through the things that you're living through, and we've also read and prayed and seen a lot of things in the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. The Bible is true here. And there are men and there are women that are nodding around here, and you know why they're nodding? Because they're saying, yes, preacher, it's true. We learned it the hard way. There is a snare in the transgression of an evil man. Stay out of transgression. Stay away from that stuff. Because when the snare happens, you can't break free. I have, in our family, alcoholism has been a problem for generations. And those of us who grow up in families like that grow up with all the dysfunctional families that are associated with all that stuff. And so I can tell you that I have family members who go to AA meetings and have been for years and will continue to do so until they die. Because if they don't, then all those drunk behaviors become what they do, and then they go back to a drinking, and they can't do it. That's a snare. You don't want to live the rest of your life like that. Amen. Okay? The next one is also in Proverbs chapter 29. It's verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. By the way, let me stop for a second. I have to give you the remedy. I said stay away, but look, in verse 6 again, look at the second half of the proverb. But the righteous doth sing and rejoice. You know why he sings and he rejoices? Because he didn't get snared. He didn't get tripped up. He's like, ha, ha, ha. So how do I keep myself from being ensnared? You do right. You find the right thing to do, and then you do that right thing, and it doesn't get you. Now, years ago, I have to give you this illustration. I'm talking about scores of years ago. You know what a score is? That's 20, so several of those ago. When I was just a little kid, and I don't remember how old I was, probably 9 or 10, my 12 or 13-year-old brother decided he wanted to drive, and he wanted me to go with him. So he woke me up. I don't know why it is when people get in trouble, they want to have an accomplice. My parents had taken a long trip with a friend, with friends of theirs, from that had bought a brand new Buick Regal. It was, the color of it was gold. It was the first of its kind that had the center console automatic shift on it. It was beautiful. And they didn't want to take it to the airport because they were afraid some young kids would throw eggs through the fence and damage the paint. So they left it in my parents' garage. My brother decided he wanted to drive that car. So you already know where this thing is going to go. And I'm not going to drag out the story. It's quite interesting. But he backs it out. This is like 4 o'clock in the morning, and puts it in and backs it out and puts it in. And he can't even say the next phrase that he says. He says, "Now for the piece de resistance," is what he's trying to say. You know, let me show you how I really do this. He's going to back it out and turn down the driveway this way and then pull back in like this. He doesn't know how to do that. And he catches the rear passenger door on a 4x4, and all I hear, and I can hear it in my ears right now, this many years ago, I hear, boom, when that 4x4 snapped, and now he's trying to get off of the post, and it's just not getting better, that's all I can say. So he finally gets it all in there, and the next day, my oldest brother, who would have been 16 at the time, went outside and saw all that busted 4x4 and the damaged door and all that other kind of stuff. And he comes back in the house. Now listen, it pertains to verse 6 here. And he goes, "I'm so glad I didn't do it. The righteous doth sing and rejoice." And you come in here praising the Lord on Wednesday night, you know what you're basically saying? I am so glad I am not ensnared, you know? Now verse 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare. The fear of man bringeth a snare. So that snare is a snare that is, here's the deal. When you're afraid of men, you have just given them the power over you. That's what happens. And that's not a good thing, because there's nobody that should have power over you but the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so when you're, listen, husbands, when you're afraid of your wives and you say, you know, I think we ought to lead our family in this direction, but I know if I say something to my wife, boy, she is not going to be happy about this. So he backs off and won't take that thing he knows God wants them to do. You know what he's done? He has rejected what God wants him to do because he's afraid of the reaction of his wife. Do you think there's anybody like that? I think probably today there are more men that are married that are afraid of their wives than there were, let's say, 50 years ago. Don't you think? With all the feminism and everything else. And so, listen, when you're a Christian and you're married and there's a temptation on the part of your wife to sort of push it just to see if she can make you do something, not any woman around here would do that, so I'm not going to dwell on this point. I want to tell you something. That's when you have to fear God. You cannot be afraid to do the right thing. And this, listen, this happens in all walks of life. I have a pastor friend of mine that's taken a church. In other words, he was pastoring a church and he's been brought into another church. And it's a well-established church, and they got people that have been there for decades. And I know that it was a scary situation, and I know there were some things in that church that had to change. That's why it got into the shape that it's in. That's why they had to call him to come in to pastor. And when he asked me to pray for him, we talked a little bit about, you know, what he might experience and so forth. And I sent him a text one day, and here's what I said: never be afraid to do right. Because you're going to have to step on somebody's toes if you have somebody that's there. You say, look, you can't be in that position anymore. They can be a stinker about that. But if you're afraid of them, you'll never get that done, and they'll continue to cause the problems and damage. And so you cannot be afraid. Sometimes women are very afraid of their husbands. And they see their husbands doing things that are not good for the family, and they're like Sarah saw with Abraham when it was time for Hagar and Ishmael to go. And when you see that by prayer and by gentle advice, you need to help your husband see that this thing is not going to be helpful to the family. You have to be able to stand up to that and say, I can't be afraid. I can't be afraid of this reaction. You know what? You know what's very difficult for politicians? They're afraid of men, because men are the ones that elect them, men and women. And they're very afraid of that, so they like to go out and get polls about decisions they're trying to make before they make those decisions so they can get reelected. Well, when a person makes decisions like that, do they always make good decisions? No, they don't. And you've seen that and even complained about it sometimes. So if you don't like it when somebody, like a politician does it, then don't like it when you do it. For the same reason. This isn't a popularity contest. The only person, listen, this will really help you. Watch what he says here. The snare of the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. You know, fear God and trust Him. Listen, when you have to face, look, I hear this all the time, and you've probably said it. I hate confrontation. You know what that is? You know what that is? It's the fear of man. Because you know how difficult the reactions can be. Listen, you have one person in the universe to please, only one. That's God. Now, a man cares for his wife, how he may please her, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and she cares for her husband, how she may please him. But not in the sense that I'm afraid to do the right thing. You see, because I'm afraid of the reaction. Boy, and that's just not a way to live. You find out where God is on a thing, you settle it in the fear of God before Him, and then stand on the thing that's right. And God will bless that. Because whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's right. Absolutely right. If you can see this with your employers and all other kinds of situations. Just don't be afraid of men. Don't be afraid of men. Here's the next one. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. You don't have to put your finger in the air to see which way the wind is blowing, okay? To find out where you stand on a subject. You know where God stands, you stand with Him. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'll look at verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a, what's the next word? Snare. And into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Well, I'll tell you, there's a lot of emphasis on money in our society. There really is. And there are a lot of covetous people that would like your money. I suppose if I asked this question today, how many, I'm not asking it. I'm not asking it. Don't slip your hand up accidentally. If I asked the question today, how many of you love money? I am pretty sure nobody here would raise their hand tonight. Because I don't think in your heart, and I don't think in my heart, that I love money. I don't think this is my problem. But you know something? You don't really know whether you love money or not until you have been tested in that love. And then you'll know. And then you'll know. A person doesn't have to have money to love it. For one thing. And for another thing, as long as he's got the bills paid and a little bit of money in the bank or a method of taking care of all that, he feels secure. It's when he's being challenged by the Lord in a decision that involves that money that he then finds out where his heart really is. And not until then. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, so you won't really know till you've been tested. And then when you get tested, you might find out that there's a snare there. The love of money is the root of all evil, he says, and they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Well, what kind of snares happen? I'll tell you one that happens is debt. That's one that'll really get you. And you know the problem with debt, it's real easy. It's real easy to borrow it. It's very difficult to pay it back. It is, isn't it? All right, so you got to be very, very careful. You got to be very, very careful about debt. Credit card companies are after you all the time, and they have all kinds of incentives for you to use their card. They'll give you 1% cash back or 1.5% cash back and all that, and you think, man, this is fun, man, this is fun, until you add up all the bills you have outstanding, and you're like, whoo, this is not fun at all. You know, it's easier to go, if you don't want to have debt and you like to buy things, let's say around Christmas time, it's easier to go with how much ever you want to spend and try to dole it out there. But the problem is, you can't come up with enough for everybody. If you go with a credit card, you don't feel it till January. And then you got buyer's remorse. It's terrible. All right, so here's the thing. About debt. Mike Roberts told me before he left, he said, I'm going to tell you, I said, give advice to a young preacher before you leave this country. And he said, all right, here's the advice I'll give you. Tell your people to stay out of debt. And I said, why is that? He said, well, I got that part, but I said, I want to hear your reasoning behind it. Here's the reason. He said, because God will call them to do something for him, and they won't be able to go because they will be stuck paying off big mortgages, big car payments, and all the other things. Teach your people to live within their means. That's not a very easy thing to do. All right. My grandfather, who lived through the Depression and all that kind of stuff, said this: save a little something out of every paycheck. You know you're living within your means if you can save a little something out of every paycheck. That's a good. That way I don't have to tell you how to budget it and how much not to spend and what to spend. If you can't do that, and if you can't tithe, you're spending too much. Simple. And you got to cut your expenses. It's just like that. Otherwise, there's a snare there. Now you say, what's the way out of that snare? Verse 11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. If you have trouble every time Macy's and Kohl's have sales, don't go. Don't go. I, for one, and I know I'm a man, okay? I hate them all with a passion. You know, there are, and I haven't been to any of them. And I like all that stuff. I really do. But I get overwhelmed when I get around all that stuff. But anyway, but if you, you know, if the catalog that you receive is enticing and you just can't feel good about recycling that catalog without going online and buying something, unsubscribe. Seriously. It's a simple thing. You do not want to live your life in a snare. You don't. And the Lord doesn't want you to. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So let me give you one passage of Scripture here, 2 Timothy chapter 2, that will help you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verses 25 and 26. If you're in a snare right now, watch this. Here's what I'm to do in verse 24. The servant of the Lord must not strive. I'm not fighting with you. But be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, which is what we're doing tonight, patient. I know it takes you some time. In meekness. I've been in the snare myself. I understand it. Instructing those that oppose themselves. Watch it. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, there's that snare, who are taken captive by him at his will. What you didn't realize is that when you started on this, the snare didn't pull the first time you stepped in it. People that trap hogs, they set up the hog trap and they don't set the trap. They set it up, but they put the corn in there and the hogs go in. They go, wow, this is like a buffet. And the next night they come back, and the next night they come back, and the night after that they come back, and they're like, come on, man, and they bring their friends. And then there's a bunch of them in there. And then the trapper sets the trap. See? And same way with the snare that you find yourself in, it may not have sprung yet, or it may have, and you're like, how in the world do I get out of this thing? Well, here's the deal. First of all, don't get tricked into getting into it. If you've gotten away with some of these things we've talked about tonight a few times, let me tell you something, the snare is still there. If you haven't gotten away with it and you are now ensnared, here's the way out. You have to go to God and repent. You have to. And then you have to acknowledge the truth. That is, you have to see what the Bible says about you and say, this is who I am. If you have trouble with the money, you have to be able to say to the Lord, the word you assign to this sin is covetousness, and covetousness is as idolatry. I am a covetous idolater, Lord. That's the truth. Or whatever. Lord, I am, the Bible calls it, a drunkard. I'm a drunkard. You have to call it what it is. But by doing that, you're not like calling out the demon. That's the way the charismatics do it. I'm not talking about that. You are acknowledging that I am what this thing says it is. You acknowledge the truth. When you do that and repent, God, he says, if God will peradventure grant them repentance. It doesn't always happen. That's why you don't want to get into the snare in the first place. But if you want out, you got to acknowledge the truth and repent. And then, listen, that verse 26, that they may recover themselves. You got to do the work to get yourself out of that snare that you got yourself into, which is now under the control of the devil. And that can be a very difficult battle right there. Years ago, a friend of mine who is now going on to be with the Lord got saved, and he was a smoker. And he came to the Lord. He said, Lord, I want you to give me the grace to stop this. And he said the Lord did, and for 90 days he didn't smoke. And he thought, you know what? It can't hurt me to try just one. Man. He smoked one, and boom, boy, that snare pulled. And for the rest of his days till he died, he fought that cigarette till he died. He really did. And you know what he told me? He would come and see me and would say, this is what he would say, and this is the deception of the trap. He said this, I have been praying that God would deliver me from smoking. And that's not what verse 26 says. It says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It was easier the first time when God gave him grace and got that cigarette out of there. The second time he put his foot in that snare, he never did get loose. And the reason is he was putting the responsibility on God, not on himself. Now, if you want to have to unwind the difficulty of the sin you get into through all these, and we didn't even describe a bunch of them, I just gave you a few that pop up with Christians. You better be ready when you decide you've had enough to do battle with that sin. And I'll tell you what, most men and most women are not man enough and woman enough to do it. They lose those battles. And God's not always going to be there if peradventure God will grant them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. You don't want to go there. Those snares are a terrible place to be. Now, if you found yourself in there, repent to God, acknowledge that truth, and go to work on that thing with everything you've got. Like Paul said in Hebrews, you have not yet striven unto blood. What is that? Fighting against sin? Yeah. I'm telling you what, it is a battle. Just look at it with me real quick, and then we'll close here. Hebrews chapter 12. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Hebrews 12:4. I'm telling you, it's a bloody battle to get yourself out of that trap when the devil's got it and you turned your back on the truth. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I tell you, you cannot go the way of transgression the fear of man and the love of money without doing yourself and your family a great deal of harm. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you tonight for some real good, clear, sober instruction from the book. I sure pray for our folks. Love you, Lord, love the book, and love these folks. And I'm asking you, please, Lord, help us to learn from what we've seen tonight. In Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.